Here in James chapter 1, we've taken a look at this chapter taken a look about the temptation that's mentioned there in verse 2, verse 12, taking a look at the tempting that goes on within us. And sometimes as I preach and teach, it's you pray for me. I have a thought, maybe the Lord, in preparing for a message and or studying a portion of Scripture, you know, you really get a blessing from the Lord in it. There seems to be good light and clarity about it. And I really get, when I have those times, I really get excited. I'm touched and stirred by the Lord. But then I have a hard time at times being able to give that to you. I can't give it to you the way that I got it sometimes. I have times that I struggle with that. And I ask you to pray for me about that. This flesh gets in the way. My old mind gets in the way. And I just wish I could give it to you so it'd be a blessing to you the way it was to me. And as we took a look at this about this temptation that's being spoken of here in verses number 13 and 15, 13 through 15, you know, this is the way that it works. The thought is the father of the deed, as we mentioned last time. And we need to realize it's a sober outlook on living life and understanding the life that we do have in Christ and how it is that we are in this trichotomy, right, that we are this body, this soul, the Spirit of God living within. If we understand what the Lord tells us about how things really work, we can be guarded about what we do and how we move forward and serve. We can know about the problems that we have rather than having a situation saying, "What's wrong with me? You know, why am I this way?" There's a thing I think that happens maybe to probably through the ages, maybe more so in the New Testament church age, from the time that the Lord is from the time of the Lord's ministry and His death, burial, and resurrection. This is kind of a branch off of what I'm talking to you here, but folks are saved, and then they're never taught. And if you don't ever grow, and you don't ever get good food to grow, you can be stymied and kind of just not know what the next thing is, and kind of maybe even despair. I think that there's folks like that. They are saved. The Lord visits them, and they... they hear the gospel and they see Jesus Christ precious to the salvation of their soul. And the Lord does save their souls, but they don't have anybody. There's not a church there to grab a hold of them to teach them. Maybe they get bad advice and are steered away from a church that can teach them. Maybe they get off into a false denomination or get into something that isn't the Lord's church, and they don't get any guidance. And so they're like a baby. If you take a baby's alive, isn't it? But you take a baby and put them outside, you know, they're not going to grow, are they? I think that happens to folks. You know, we've all known of folks that maybe seem like that they were saved, but they just didn't, they didn't go on from there. And then, like I said, they despair and they say, "What's the matter with me? I thought I was saved." Somebody that's saved, maybe truly is saved, but then taught sinless perfection in this life, would they not despair? Yeah, they'd be brought to a point of despair because they say, "I thought I was saved. I've been told I'm perfect now, but I still got this old sin." I mean, they got the Spirit of God within. They understand what sin is, because that's how we know what sin is right? By the Spirit of God living within. But they don't grow. They're not taught. They don't learn anything about the Word of God. I mean, I know a brother that said when he was first saved, he knew nothing other than he was saved. And he said, "Before I was taught, if you would have asked me if I could lose my salvation, I would have told you, yeah." But then when he got taught about what the Word of God says, and the kind of life that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. He said, oh, okay, I can't lose this salvation that I've been given from the Lord, because it's of Him and by Him and through Him. It is eternal. It is everlasting. That's the way that it can work. And so, if we understand how things work, back to what I was getting at here between verses 13 and 15, if we can know the truth about how things really work in this three-part person that we are, one person, the body, soul, and the Spirit of God with salvation living within, not a dead spirit, but a living spirit within, we can understand the warfare that we have. We can understand the fight and the battle that we have. We can have encouragement to know how to go forward well. Does that make any sense? You understand what I'm trying to convey? And how it's, if we can know good spiritual knowledge about the way things really work, will help us. And good spiritual knowledge only comes from God. Okay? So, knowing about how sin works, and knowing about where sin comes from, knowing that sin starts, there's one aspect in our humanity, in our depravity, in our wickedness and sinfulness that we've inherited from our daddies. Sin starts right up here. I pointed at my nose. Lack of coordination. I don't want to put a smudge on my glasses either, but what we take in the eye gate, what we take in the ear gate, we can take in the mind, churn it around, and end up disobeying God and sinning God. That's what that's talking about. What we just naturally know as sinners, okay? And I guess there is a, you could say that we learn what we even learn as sinners, but what's in us, our bent, our inward bent towards sin, we've just got that. That's depravity. God says yes, we say no. God says white, we say black. God says up, we say down. It's just in us, our depravity. From that, we can take that, and then when we learn things from the world, from Satan, from other mankind, other men, women, boys, and girls that have pursued after sin, and we learn about that, and then we take that inside, we turn that around. Next thing you know, we're sinning. Yeah, we sin in the heart. It's there. I mean, that's what I believe the Sermon on the Mount's about. The Lord is saying, the religious leaders of your day say, this is the way it should be. You have heard it said, thus and so. But the Lord says, I say unto thee, here's the way that it really is. You know, the example that the Lord gives about adultery. He says, you've heard it to be this way about adultery. I'm telling you, if you think it in your heart, you've committed adultery. Because, see, the problem starts inside. And so we have that naturally, and sin can be cultivated. Notice the word again in verse number 15, conceived. Okay? Then when lust hath conceived, when desire, thinking, hath conceived, right? Brings forth sin, doesn't it? Sin. Sin in the body. It's already sin in the heart. And somebody says, well, if my, you know, in regards to service, well, if my heart's not in it, I just might as well not even do it. That's a lie. That is a lie. Better to obey in the body and your heart not be in it than to be guilty of physically sinning against your Creator. And then in the meantime, go ahead and do what's right, and then get your heart straightened out. Yeah, don't buy into that junk. Well, if my heart's not in it, I probably just shouldn't even go. No, that's a lie. That is wickedness. Because what did Adam do with the fruit? He thought to eat it, yeah. But he did eat it. And that's what the Lord dealt with for sure, wasn't it? It started inside, but it manifested itself in the flesh. The other side of this, verses 13 through 15, we see it here in verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and desire. Okay, that's that inside part. But then I see that other word there, and enticed. And there is an element that Satan, out here in the world system, the world, the wickedness of man is out there advertising sin. And we go and look at that. And then we take that in. And then that process goes on too. So we've got the problem inside. And then there, we understand that there are those that are on the outside also promoting wickedness and sin and enticing. Okay? My personal opinion is there's, you know, the devil made me do it, right? Isn't that how, wasn't that what's been said for years? I mean, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make us do anything. We chased after any of it. And he may have advertised it to us. Then we took it inside and did it. I tell you what, my problem, my biggest problem and your biggest problem being human beings is not the devil, but it's us. My biggest problem is me. Because if I don't pursue the Lord and fill up on His Word and communicate with Him, hear Him speaking to me praying to Him and bringing my petition before Him to help me, if that fellowship is not there, you're going to fill up with something. It's going to be filled up with something. I've likened life to being like a bucket that's been shot with a shotgun. And it's going to be filled up with something. And best for it to be filled up with the Word of God. It's, if you can see it squirting out the holes, there it's showing forth, right? But it runs out after a while. We need to keep on putting more Word of God in there. Things of God, service of God, following with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. That we might serve Him well. That we might have that good fellowship with Him. Do you have good fellowship with the Lord? This past week, did you talk with the Lord? Did your heartache, bring to the Lord? Did your blessing and your happiness, did you take that to the Lord? Did your difficulty in dealing with something, did you take that to the Lord? Did you ask the Lord and talk to the Lord this week about what He wants you to do? Who He wants you to talk to? How He wants you to be? How He wants you to grow? Did you talk to the Lord about any of that this past week? Did we? We need to. We need to. That's called fellowship. That's called communication. So now, we see this about sin, and if we understand this, then we can know and understand from this, and there's a message coming about it. This stuff, verses 13 through 15, it starts with our thinking. Brother, years and years ago, when Clarissa and I were members at Salem Missionary Baptist Church, that was before she was saved, but I don't say that to embarrass her, but we were members there. And the pastor there was there, he brought a message, stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. What do we think about? What do we think about? Because whatever the thinking is probably going to be what we do. And do you and I have a little place over here in the corner where we harbor up and maybe put our stinking thinking about things and keep it to ourselves so we can go over there and enjoy that? Lord, help us not to. Our whole mind needs to be surrendered to the Lord. We need to reprimand and chide ourselves when we pursue after stinking thinking. There's all kinds of stinking thinking that can go on. Ill towards our brother and sister in Christ. Ill towards just folks that we know about. We can pursue after lasciviousness and illicitness in our minds. I mean, the pursuit of pornography, it starts like that. It starts in the head. It starts in the heart. Obsession with things. Like I mentioned, the technology of the day. I mentioned sometime in the last few messages about Facebook, MySpace, all those. In and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with those things. But when it takes over our hearts and takes over our minds and consumes us, where the things of the Lord and the way of the Lord and all that gets just pushed out of our lives, it's detrimental. And it will end up in physical sin. When I do my hands this way, I'm talking about the body. But if we understand how it is, we know that we see that we need to be pouring in the Word of God, fellowship with the Lord's people, visiting with the Lord, praying to the Lord. You got a bad attitude? You got a sour spirit, a hard heart? Listen, we need God to soften us up. We need to be pliable in the Lord's hands. We need to be such and before the Lord that we are such that the Lord would take us and conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. But it starts inside, doesn't it? It starts inside. Verse 16. Do not make an error. Do not err, my beloved brethren. He's talking to the saved. Well, in the case of James, at least to the Jews, says don't make an error. Don't make an error. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. He's never moved. He's never changed. God sits on His throne, and He faces forward, doesn't He? It says He doesn't change. There's no difference in the shadow of the Lord. There's no beginning to pick up that the Lord's going to start moving. He's the same. And what God gives is good gifts. He may try His children. He may, as it says in verse 2 and verse number 12, it may be that He may allow a trial, a temptation to come upon a life, but it's never a trial or a temptation with wickedness. See, that's the difference. That's what the distinction that was trying to make last time. God doesn't take wickedness and put it before His child and say, "Here, you want some?" But He may give a command and say, "Will you obey me or not?" See? Satan, our old heart, our mind, our soul, if you will, that's what we're fraught with, is will we pursue wickedness or not? You see what I'm saying? But the Lord, He gives a thing. He gives a trial. He allows a thing to have. Brings a thing to pass. Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Would you want the Lord to say that about you? Nothing we'd ever volunteer for, would it? But the Lord allowed that to come upon Job so Job's faith could be stretched, so Job could be the representative of the Lord, to be manifested that he had more than just chaff in his life, but that he was the Lord's. And it hurt him physically, but it refined him spiritually, didn't it? Amen, it did. But Satan says to the Lord, he says, we've seen it, he says, take these rocks and turn them into bread. See, Satan tempts with wickedness. But good gifts come from the Lord. Even when it's a trial, even when it's a temptation. You know what? I may need you to remind me of this someday. It's easy to preach. It's easy to teach. It's easy to read out of that book and tell you, this is the way it is. But I may need you to remind me someday it's the case. But it's in there for us, and it's for our benefit, isn't it? Otherwise, just like the Lord gave us that chapter telling about Abraham burying Sarah and buying that possession, another question I didn't ask of the class, but I submit to you, that place there in Mamre, in what's the other name of it? Who all is buried there? Who all was buried there? Yeah, a whole bunch of them, a whole wad of them. Go check that out. They're buried there. Jacob said, I don't want to be buried over here in Egypt. I want you to take me over there and bury me where Granddaddy's buried. Because they held to the promise of the Lord. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We see here how it is with the Lord. He gives good things. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Take a look over here. And we need to keep in mind and be reminded. I trust you know this already. But we need to be reminded how it is and what it is that the Lord does for us in so much detail. You know, how do you keep your heart beating? Sister Margaret's going to go get another pacemaker. Who keeps that pacemaker working? The Lord. The Lord. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 17. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 8:15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who did that? Moses is preaching to the children of Israel. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end? He said it was a trial for improvement. It was a trial for growth. It was a trial to give you confidence in me. Verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Listen, if you got a half an ounce of sense to be able to go and do anything, it's because of the Lord. If we've been blessed to have anything in living in life, it's because of the Lord. He's the one that's done it. He's the one that's provided it. Oh, yeah, but I'm just a whiz at such and so. Listen, the reason that you are is because God's given it to you so you can be able to do it, be able to think it, have the ability to reckon it. It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. Good gifts. Good gifts. Brother Wayne Reynolds, well, I tell you what, I love him. Here he is, 67 years old. I think that's right, 67 years old, 65 years old. And he's had that stroke. You know, and his brain isn't working like he would want it to. And from the latest reports that we hear, he's got a ways to go to recover. It's his speech is getting improved, but his ability to think and to put it together, it's been compromised. And Brother Wayne always prayed that the Lord would bless him with right use of his mind. Brother Wayne was blessed with the foresight to even pray such a prayer. But I heard that, you know, and I was blessed by that. I pray that for myself. What is it to say that we don't get up tomorrow and we're just kind of changed? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's in his hand. And the Lord has something for Brother Wayne and Sister Jessie and their family in that. He knows. He knows. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every good gift comes from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Over here in verse number 1. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. What better gift has the Lord given us that are saved to be able to see Him? Amen. You can't say Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Holy Spirit shows you that. And then saying the same way as it starts out there, if a man has a spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl has the Spirit of God living within, they cannot call Jesus accursed because He's become precious. He's become precious to the salvation of their soul. But no man can know it. No man. And that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. What a blessing it is to be saved. Amen. What a blessing it is to be touched by the Lord, for Him to open up our ears that we could hear, to open up our eyes being blind that we could see, to given us the gift of the Holy Spirit within that we can go to the Word of God, and even though we may be so very young in believing, so very young in being born again, that He takes that book now and He speaks to us through it. I remember after I was saved, you know, the Bible was there and I would read it, and I read it a lot before I was saved. But you know, it just didn't stick. It didn't click. It didn't go together. I could learn facts about it, but it just wasn't alive to me. Is it to you? Is it to you? Is it alive to you? Listen, if the Word of God's not alive to you, I don't want to cause anybody to doubt their salvation, but what is it that you're holding on to if the Word of God isn't alive to you? I know the Word of God sure speaks to me. It tears me down and it makes me happy. It blesses my soul, and then it gets me right when I need God. And you know, you can read the same passage at one time, and then months and maybe even years down the road, read it again, and boy, it'll just speak to you where you are then. It didn't change what it says. The words on the page didn't change, but it speaks to us where we're at then. Because time and life and us, we're moving on and we're changing. That's a gift from God, folks. That is a gift from God. Evil gifts are not from the Father, even when it's a temptation and trial that may be hard on our skin. But the Lord means it for good, doesn't He? Just like Joseph's attitude. You meant it for evil. And we may think that it's meant for evil with it hurting our wrapping, our skin. But the Lord, He intends it for good, anything that He allows or that He brings. It says here in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Turn to 1 John 1. Had a fellow that I worked to when I first went to St. Louis. He was the guy that hired me. He interviewed me out in the college where I went to, and then he ended up hiring me. And he's a special fella. I should say. That's a way to say it. Lord used him. He had been my life. He was good to me. But he wasn't saved. But, and I may have just been saved at the time that he said this to me. But he was a chemist. And he was a real brainiac. I mean, he knew a lot about everything. And, he said he was talking about, y'all have heard about Einstein's theory of relativity, right? And, you know, that's not the point of knowing about that. But the thing is that theory, some of that theory, what it says is if we could travel the speed, it was theorized by Einstein, if I understand it correctly, that if we could ever get to the point of traveling the speed of light, that mathematically it shows that we could live forever. That's the thought. You know what occurred to me? This verse. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we could travel the speed of light, we wouldn't age. Now, we know that that's not possible because of sin and all that and even the limitations of the universe. But the Lord is ageless, isn't he? And he is light, isn't he? He is. He is the light. And he's eternal. And if you go and you go live with the Lord, what's he do for you? It's an automatic, isn't it? He makes you eternal. That's the only kind of folks, beings, creatures he'll have in his presence. When it's all said and when it's all wrapped up and said and done at the end of what we know and understand this life, all that'll be there will live eternally, won't they? God doesn't like death. He won't have death around him. That's the reason it's such a marvel to know that the ever self-existing one would submit himself to death for a worm like me. Death is foreign to the Lord. He just in and of himself, apart from his desire and work in us and redeeming us and saving us, God would never even think about death. But because of us and because of sin, he dealt with it and did away with it in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's light. He's light. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Said that we understand this, John says. We know this from God, and so I'm telling it back to you. God has told us this. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Remember what John chapter 3 says about the darkness? It says, men, women, boys, and girls that love sin run like a cockroach to the darkness. But the one that sees the Lord, loves the Lord because of his salvation, likes the light. And doesn't mind getting up in the light. Not so they can be bragged on, but so their Savior and Lord can be bragged on. What's it say there in John chapter 3? That it may be seen that the works that they do are wrought in God. God's working in them. The child of God that has their heart right never wants to brag on themselves. They want to brag on their Savior. They want to point men to their Savior. Look at what the Lord has done to and for the likes of me. Not because I deserve it, but because he's been pleased to love me and be a witness of those things. Mm-mm-mm. It's good, isn't it? Back in James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Turn over here to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Good gifts. Look here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number, that's a big run-on sentence, verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Well, that's right parallel to what we've been looking at, isn't it? Well, that's how we will be able to steer away from sin, to put sin out of our lives, as we saw this morning, and it says there in Galatians, to crucify the flesh. Nail that old man down. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth and height, four dimensions, not three, four. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that it worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord has and can and will work the impossible in you and me. And you know what? Everything he works is good. Without fail. He doesn't ever slip up. He doesn't ever say, oh, well, with that, I didn't mean that one to go over there. No, it's all every bit good. And look what it says there. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. When you need a solution to an impossible thing, go to the Lord. He does great with it. I had a person tell me that they had some things in their life and that they were dealing with and felt conviction of the Lord to follow it in it. And there wasn't necessarily agreement about it in their home, but it seemed that it was impossible for it to be worked. It was impossible for it to be the way God said, but they were just convicted that that's what should be done. And they put the Lord to the test and trusted the Lord. And the way, what they said, if I remember right, the way that it seemed like it was just going to be impossible for it to be done, the Lord took that, and that way, when he did it, they said, oh, that was simple. that was simple. That was easy. Why? Because it wasn't them that did it. They obeyed the Lord and believed the Lord and stepped up to as far as they could go in service and said, Lord, you've got to make it happen. You've got to make it work. And he did. That's faith. That's faith. Faith to say, yep, this is all I know to do and all I can do. From here on out, I'm looking for grace to go the rest of the way, to see the working of the Lord in it. Oh, may the Lord help us to be convicted and to trust the Lord and believe the Lord in it. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man's ever going to get to be with the Father but through Jesus Christ, the God-man. You need to repent. Repent of your sins, that you're guilty before God, that you are the sinner that needs a Savior. Nobody else matters. Don't be pointing over here. Don't be pointing over there. Don't be picking out ones that you're better than. But you're guilty. And you deserve a devil's hell for eternity because you're disobedient. because you're wicked, because you're sinful. But admit it to God and cry out unto Him for mercy, because He's got a whole bunch of it. Repent, believe, trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him and what He did, not what you can do. You can't do a thing. The Lord says, believe Him. The Lord says, receive Him.